The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Hi, I'm Nick Harcourt and I'm here with Paula Cole.
Hi, Nick.
It's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you too.
You're playing some songs for us from the new album, Low. And I know we've been playing one of those songs, Replacements and Dinosaur Jr. But before we sort of come up to date, maybe I can just sort of go back a little bit in time to when I first became aware of your music,
sure.
Which was in the mid-90s when I was in Woodstock and you were up in the Boston area.
That's right.
Jay Belarose came down with a band that he was in at the time and played on a show there. And then the next time he came down was with you.
That's right.
And I know that we played the Imago record, which is probably the less talked about, the better, right? Not because of the songs, but because you were signed to a record label that did nothing.
Did nothing, died, and keeps me bound to a hideous contract. But yeah.
Still?
Oh, God. Let's not go there.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Painful.
Fabulous album, though, Harbinger.
Oh, thank you.
And then I think the last time I met you was a year or two before we moved to L.A. when I came out here for the KCRW gig. I was the program director at WDST, and we put together a Christmas show, and we had a bunch of cool bands on it, including you, just as you were breaking, so very lucky for us, and Semisonic just about before they blew up as well. And it was in this great venue called The Chance in Poughkeepsie. Now, you didn't, when I spoke to you before we started recording, remember necessarily the gig, but when I mentioned the venue, you were like,
yes, yeah. I remembered. Remember, it had like a wooden Victorian feel with multiple stories, and the house was rocking. I remember it was packed, and it was a very joyful, intense night. Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, great people.
That's how the classic rock station there does its thing. WPDH, Poughkeepsie.
Say it.
Yeah. If I want to go back, I can get a gig, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then you had a lot of success. I mean, like, things really happened for you in a very significant way. And, you know, hits, obviously. Hits will buy you a little bit of freedom, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in some senses, yeah. It did happen very quickly, and that was kind of shocking for this introvert here,
right.
You know? In fact, it was kind of ill-fitting, and that's partly why I left the business. And like Emmylou Harris says to me, like, it just happened too fast. I'm lucky. I've had this nice plateau, you know. But yeah, it did buy me some freedom. It allowed me some time to take off, to have my daughter.
Yeah. Tell us about that, because you stepped away for about 8 years.
Yes, I did. And that's a really important reset. And even though I did kind of try at times to get back out there, I couldn't get arrested. It was just everything was, it was just the time for me to take a break and reset. And that was really valuable. I had my daughter Skye in LA in 2001 and had a home birth. And this community was really supportive with home birth and supporting breastfeeding, which is really hard to do. You need support for that. And midwifery. And it was a wonderful community for me to just be and be a mother.
Right.
And so it ended up being an 8-year hiatus for like lots of personal reasons. Like I had a divorce too, and I relocated a couple times.
Sure.
So it was just life. I went through some life then. And the next thing you know, I'm back in New York and finally putting out albums again. I think I got more prolific when I finally made my independent album, independent label. And then I could just make music, you know, every year, every 2 years.
Were you writing and playing guitar while you were taking that hiatus, while you were bringing up your daughter? Were you still making music?
A little bit.
Right.
It's hard. A little bit, but not as much. And of course, hits give you that freedom, right? And I'm so grateful for that time. Because all that time, it makes you kind of a more complete human being. And,
right.
And it shows up in the writing years later, I think.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my next question.
Right.
When you're a young person, as we all were once, people in this room, but when you're younger, your life experience is limited to what you're doing as an 18-year-old or a 25-year-old, or maybe when you get to 30. When you step away and come back as a parent, there's got to be a different perspective to your art and how you create.
Absolutely. I mean, now I have three kids. I have two stepkids and my daughter, and they're 22, 22, and 26. Two of them are graduating college in May. I know, I'm going on tour for college graduation next month.
Wow.
So it's pretty great. And everyone's in the arts, and I've been part of their life. It's fantastic. And being a mother, like, it makes me a good leader with my band, too, like just caring for people. And then there's just the humility of it all, having time off from the business. You know, I've been cool, I've been uncool, I've been too popular, and then I couldn't get arrested. And then I just, like the tortoise, I'm just slow. It's this is the path I've always wanted to have anyway, not the quick fame stuff, yuck.
Right.
Like, I just want to make good music and be on the long, steady path. So I've just been making albums like every year, every other year, doing something creative.
So I should say, I'm just saying you have hits. We should say that the hits are Where Have All the Cowboys Gone?
Yeah.
And I Don't Want to Wait. Is there a good tale on those songs from the point of view of you being able to come back, as you've been done for a while now, obviously, and as you said, making records every 2 or 3 years? Is there a long tale on having those hits that brings you an audience? The audience is still there, people who, you know, were coming and seeing you 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
I feel like the songs are unusual and memorable, and they hold up, and they're still out there in the collective unconsciousness. You hear them. Where Have All the Cowboys Gone lately? I think it's like a Gen Z. They really love it, and there's a renaissance, a lot of covers of that song.
I saw a really good cover out there recently,
I think. Lola Kirk.
Yes.
Recently covered it. But, yeah. I mean, it's been like by punk bands and country, you know, you pick your interpretation, right?
Right.
You know, I meant it for it to be ironic. Like, I was influenced by XTC when I wrote that song. Like, I loved their wry, ironic, clever songwriting with big chorus pop hooks. I loved that. So I thought, I'd like to do one with some gender perspective written by a woman. And some people got that, and some people interpreted it like in a fundamental way. So it was so interesting. It was like an anthropological study of people, that
yeah,
song,
for sure.
Me.
Yeah.
And you just have to, like, whoa, it's bigger than you. You have to kind of love people and let them interpret it the way they want to. And they have a long life. These songs are still really strong. So I'm fortunate for that, you know?
How did the pandemic interrupt your life?
I'm like one of the weirdos who did well. I'm such an introvert. If you take a Myers-Briggs test, I test very high introvert. Very, very high introvert.
So are you one of those people who are like, I love being stuck at home for a while?
Yeah, I kind of do.
I don't have to interact with anybody.
I know. And I could just, every Sunday, I'd do my Sunday evening songs. And I, for 18 months, without ever missing a Sunday, I would post for my fans. And that was good for me and good for my community. So I've had, like, a small, very loving, loyal core. And then I find coming out of motherhood, and my kids are Gen Z, I relate to that generation really well, and I find there's a lot of love there, and I find there's, my music's been played in the home. Like, people take the music very personally, so mothers and fathers play it, and the kids now are coming to the concert. So they come with their parents. It's cross-generational, I'm finding.
I have said to anybody who'll listen who's been alive a while, like myself and you, and experienced the music business when it was still vibrant and viable and there was money around. And then sort of seeing that drop off, money disappear, so much harder to get a gig, to get a record deal, people who've had hits. But if you stay alive and you stick around long enough, it comes back around, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think we all have to be intelligent and pivot and be curious and creative. So, yes, we watch Spotify come in and like, we pay $3.50 to take our own money out of an ATM machine, right? And yet we pay like a non-monetary amount, 0.00005 cents for an emotional experience of hearing music. It's kind of sinful. And that's what is right now. We are the canary in the coal mine of digitization of intellectual property. We are. And so we have to pivot. We have to be smart and find our ways. Find our ways to survive. And if you love it enough, I mean, I see like peers who've just kind of pulled out. And I see people who care so passionately about the music that they're still in it because they care and they love and they post and they're connected. So I still have my musicians like for decades, the same musicians. Like we love each other, we're family. I need to do this. I need music to be happy and whole. I'm not going to stop just because Spotify has ruined.
Sure.
You know, monetization. It's I'll find other ways, but I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because I worship at the altar of music, basically.
Right. So your first album after the pandemic was American Quilt. Was that written during the pandemic, or was it a grouping of songs from different times?
I had some songs from an earlier recording called Ballads. These were my two covers albums. Ballads being a nod to my jazz singer self, because that's what I thought I was going to be originally, like a female Chet Baker. I wanted to improvise on the chord changes. I went to Berklee College of Music, and that's what I thought I was going to do. And I had an epiphany, and I began writing songs, so I pivoted. But Ballads, we recorded 30 songs in 5 days for Ballads, because I was this pent-up jazz singer. Like, and I wanted to honor that part of myself,
sure.
You know? And so there were a bunch of songs we took from Ballads. And then I went in and we did some fresh recordings that were much rootsier. Black Mountain Blues, more folky, like Wayfaring Stranger.
Right.
And I did kind of do my little vocal improv moment on Bye Bye Blackbird, you know. So that was a hodgepodge. It literally was a quilt of collections of recordings I'd done.
But were they all covers?
All but one.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Hidden in Plain Sight, which is about... you know, enslaved people, like through quilting, is fascinating. They would create quilts to give clues to the Underground Railroad
right.
and hang them.
Yes.
So each quilt has a significance.
I've seen a documentary about this stuff.
Bear trail, like you follow the footsteps and the trails of a bear or flying geese lead you north in the spring. So you want to go north and wagon wheels and how to find people that will carry you. It's incredible. It's just an incredible, brilliant history. So I wrote a song about it, and it's on American Quilt. And I've been busy. Like, collaborated with Jason Isbell and John Paul White in 22.
So you did the EP For the Birds
with
John Paul White. Is that the one that Jason Isbell is on as
That's
well?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
How'd that come about?
It's crazy. He read an interview because he's on his phone all the time, I think. He must be.
He's
working.
Yeah.
He works a lot. And he saw an interview. And I was asked this very specific question. If you could collaborate with any male singer-songwriter, would that be? And I thought, well, I love Jason Isbell's writing. He's a beautiful songwriter. And I also love John Paul White. He read it, and he tweeted me, and my phone's blowing up there. And one morning, I'm brushing my teeth, and we have this whole public Twitter conversation.
Oh, fabulous.
It was. It was like a very good thing to come out of Twitter, one of the only good things.
And then you ended up in Nashville?
Then we were good to our word, and I went down to Nashville, and I brought a song. I'm
right.
like, what are we going to do? What do we sing about when we're three people, two men and a woman? So I wrote a song, and then they contributed to it and made it better. It's called Mother, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's the three of us. It's really beautiful. And
so you're the mother. Who's the son and who's the Holy Ghost?
It's about a man who's lost his wife and child, which ironically is kind of happening to him right now, you know, through the divorce. But, I don't want to say that. I love him very much. It's a beautiful piece of music, and I love him, like, love him and respect him, and John Paul White, oh my God, talented men. And I've just keep making music, and now Low is out.
So Low is the new album. It came out like a month or so ago, I think, earlier on this year.
Yeah,
and I know
March
we've
1st.
Been playing one of the songs,
Thank
which is
you.
Why you're here.
Thank you.
Where did this collection of songs come from?
I think actually the session with Jason Isbell and John Paul White, really helped spark me. I love their writing, and I had to write music for us to record something in the studio, and I just didn't stop. I wrote 5 songs for that session, and then I just didn't stop. I kept writing. It's like the dam is wide open now, and here are my feelings. Oh my God, I think I was avoiding my feelings for some years, and all my feelings were coming out, and I'm realizing things about myself. Songwriting is so profound that way. It's like a dialogue with the subconscious, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm a very autobiographical writer usually, so I was realizing as these songs were coming out, like, my own trauma's in my way. I need to work on myself. I need to let go. That's what invisible armor is all about. But the songs kind of pointed me to work that must be done on myself.
Were you already doing any of that work? I mean, if you talk about trauma, were you aware that you were carrying trauma, or did the songs take you into having to deal with that?
My songs were really the goalpost and really waking me up to that, how defensive I was with this beautiful man that I'd been with for 15 years and kind of always like one toe out. And
well, you got to be careful, right? Because you never know when you're about to get killed, right?
I know. Well, that's what I...
I know this story.
You know, painful divorce and all that. Yeah. I had so much baggage. I was so in my own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, like, I went back to therapy. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go on zencare.com and find somebody. God help me. And I did. And she's great. And it... I began like realizing so much about myself. It just really helped. And I came to the realization I really do have trauma. Those were like extraordinary experiences. Why do I diminish them?
Mm.
Right? Trying to always be kind of this New Englander with a stiff upper lip, stoic, and get to work and don't self-pity. And yeah.
I know they have stiff upper lip in England. They have it in New England as well?
It's terrible.
I'm so sorry.
It's the worst, and I still live there.
Well, the album is out.
It's out.
And I know that you're just wrapping up a little run now and doing some press and stuff, but you're going to be back in the fall, I believe, on a tour, and hopefully we'll see you in L.A.
Oh, yes. I'm going to be playing the Luckman tomorrow night, beautiful theater. And then we're on to Taos and Phoenix, and I'm doing Northeast runs and festivals, and headed back to the UK for the first time in 25 years.
Say hello for me.
I sure will. I know. Do you miss it?
No. Why'd you think I got out?
I know. I do miss it.
I'm just trying to figure out how to get out of Los Angeles, but that's a whole other story.
We need change.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, it's the land of my birth and dubious nurture, but I don't miss most of it. Having said that, when I go back and there's an English summer's day, there's nothing like it in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, well, do say hi to the country in general when you get off the plane. Nick says hi.
And, absolutely.
And hopefully we'll see you back in L.A. Later on this year.
Oh, I'd love that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So nice to see you again.
So nice to see you, Nick Harcourt.
Thanks, Paula Cole.
All right.
Always biting off more than I could chew. No roadmap for a hopeless sinner, a feckless leader, just wandering and stumbling through, seeking the truth. I read the Bible, but seek. as the sun he longed for. I did all the things that boys do. Discomfort in a world of black and white, I tried to belong and feel communion as I do. Seeking the truth, I feel religion, but I do not follow the rules the way some folks follow the rules. Seeking the way like a paper airplane coasting on a whisper, an angel singing hallelujah. So why? Just sing hallelujah. Seeking my heart, I've been a Joan of Arc, a Jezebel, and nobody cares, so I'll just do what I do. Seeking the way like a paper airplane coasting on a whisper, an angel singing hallelujah. But I do not follow the rules the way some folks that follow the rules. Seeking my heart, I hate the silent way inside the way migrations follow the moon. So I just follow.
Understand your last moment was a laugh, leaning too far.
are back in your chair. The joke is live if we care to look. You dared to look, yes you dared. You showed up the Replacements and Dinosaur Jr. The Beatles, yes, you prefer John. XTC and Daniel Lenoir and Benita Applebaum.
Another life lived and discarded.
so brave, so shy, so vulnerable, so alive. I'm on a high wire above myself.
SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Nick Harcourt. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.